Before we get started, I'd like us to sing a song. I'm encouraged by all the singing that I've heard. This young lady here, your chorister or minister of music, did a wonderful job of leading out. Thank you, sister. But I want to sing a song because of, again, hearing the basses and the altos and the sopranos. Matter of fact, I heard a few notes. I'm not sure what it was, but it sounded good. Amen? But we're going to sing a song that we don't even need the board for this. It's called, the name of the song is Into My Heart, Come In, Into My Heart, Come Into My Heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come into, oh, you know it, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's sing that song. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. After Jesus comes in, we got to shine out, amen? Let's sing that second part. Shine out of my heart, shine out of my heart, shine out of my heart, Lord Jesus. Shine out today, shine out always, shine out of my heart, Lord Jesus. Father in heaven, I'm coming before you as humbly as I can, knowing that I am nothing unless you're living in me and speaking through me. Lord, you called me to share with your people today. And I ask, Lord, like always, that you continue to speak to my mind and to my heart, but speak through my mouth today. In Jesus' name, let everybody say, amen, amen. You all sound like a mass choir out there. Amen. Again, we praise God for the opportunity to be here this morning. I want to start off by just saying greetings to you. I am sharing a special greetings from Carlos, the Craig, the president, and Elder David Montoya, the secretary, and the executive treasurer is Randy Terry. They all personally, when I told them that I was coming here this weekend, they all said to let you all know that they are truly appreciative for your patience and for your prayers. So again, thank you. Then again, I want to say thank you to Pastor Steve. I was coming here initially just to conduct the installation, but he asked me to share a message also, which you know never turned down the opportunity to share about Jesus, amen? But I told Steve, I said, Steve, this is your day, man. It's fine. He says, no, Pastor, they're going to hear me for many years, amen. We're not going to have you that often, so please, please share. And I told him, sure, not a problem. So again, I want to thank Steve for allowing me to have the opportunity to share in his place a message from the Lord. I also want to say thank you to your elder. I know people from Warren are watching, and between Elder Brian Gar and especially Elder Roland, I just want to say thank you to both of those head elders. In case you didn't know, both churches have some really wonderful head elders. What do you say? Oh, I thought you'd say a little bit more for Elder Roland. God has blessed you with a wonderful man. And we appreciate his willingness to serve and to lead out in the absence of a pastor. Job well done, Elder. Thank you so much. You know, your elder, he didn't tell you, sometimes I get a little, not compulsive, but I'm one of these guys that I like to make sure it's together. So there are a few extra calls to your elder when he's with his family, and he took my call. There are other times when I know he was busy at his job, but he took my call. And I just want to say we thank you so much for your willingness to be there and to work with me this whole entire process. And last but not least, church family, for you to have the patience you had, I don't take that for granted. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but let me tell you, there are some churches I've dealt with, let's just say they weren't as patient as you all were. That's all I'm going to say, amen? God forgives me, and I have to forgive them also, amen? But I praise God, that was not the issue with Warren and Beaumont. You may have felt it in your heart, but you didn't express it to me directly, amen? You left it in your heart so Jesus could take care of it, amen? And again, I don't take your patience and your kindness for granted. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you. The title of our message today is, it's a question. What should I do? What should I do? Lord gave me this topic a couple of weeks ago after seeing and hearing the terrible news about Jacob Blake. Seeing him get shot 7 times. Then, as I was watching on the news, it came to my mind while I was watching the horrific murder of George Floyd in Minnesota. And then, and I still do, as a matter of fact, I took a call just yesterday where pastors are calling me literally every week. Pastor Dave, what is the conference doing? What should we be doing? What should our churches be doing about all of the just the injustice or all the craziness that's going on in this country? And I gotta admit to you that it's been a tough situation for me also, just being straight up honest. I feel very comfortable, and that's why the Lord put this on my heart to share here with you, because I want you to know that this is an issue that indirectly really does impact all of us. But the truth is, when you talk about what should I do, what should I do? That is a loaded question. You see, when I think about that question, what should I do? That's a question that I've had at my dinner table for discussions many, many evenings. What should I do, or what should we do? I've discussed that with many of my friends all over America, both black, white, Hispanic, Asian. What should we do? You know, I was thinking about this as I was traveling here from Grand Prairie, where I live. I was thinking, would it be easier to understand what we should do if someone we loved experienced some of that injustice? What if it was your uncle or your cousin or your brother or sister? Would it be easier then? Or what if it was Zeke Elliott from the Dallas Cowboys who was shot while jogging unarmed in the street like Ahmaud Arbery? Would that make it more applicable to you? Or what if Oprah Winfrey were shot while unarmed in her home? Would that help us, like Breonna Taylor, to understand justice that's going on? Well, my friends, the beauty about any of the issues going on in our lives or in this world, the solutions are all found in God's word. And that's why I'm excited to come to you, not as an activist or not as someone who, you know, is going to, you know, promote something that can cause even more attention. No, we're going to come from God's word on what he expects you and I to do as we follow his example. Is that okay? Let's get in our word today. Luke chapter 8. What should I do? Luke chapter 8, and then we're going to go to verse 40. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. What should we do? We're talking about social injustice. We're talking about some of the evil, some of the craziness that's going on in our world. What does Jesus show to us in his word that we should do? Luke chapter 8. While you're finding it, verse 40, go to verse 40. Let me just give you a little bit of the background. Our text today is in the region of Galilee where Jesus is amongst a large crowd. Many people, they're shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow, yea, hip to hip. People are gathered as close as possible to see Jesus, to hear Jesus, and to also get healed or see his miraculous healing power. Let me read to you now as we go to verse 40. I'm going to start in verse 40. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned," oh man, that is nice. Let me lay my Bible down. Got these monitors here. Praise the Lord. I don't see that much. Amen. Oh, this is all right. Beautiful church also, I must say. Wonderful blessing that God has given you. But the Bible says in verse 40, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people received him, for they were all waiting for him." And then in verse 41, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But he went to the people, but as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was staunched. Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace.'" Christian friends, like was stated earlier, we have Jesus here in the region of Galilee. He has all of these people around him. And while he is, quote unquote, walking amongst the people, actually he's walking towards Jairus' house to heal his daughter, you know, the synagogue leader. The Bible paints an interesting picture of, but we have to go a little farther if we're going to really get an understanding, but does paint a good picture still. Because again, we understand the crowdedness. We understand all the people around. But I just want to go to verse 43 and actually start there, because when you're talking about this woman, the woman doesn't even have a name. The woman is not even identified by her first or last name. She's not even identified by her religion. Is she a Seventh-day Adventist in Beaumont? We'll never know because the Bible doesn't say. All the Bible says is she's a woman. But when I start doing a little investigation and studying about this woman, this isn't just a woman. This is a woman that, number one, is not even identified or is identified anonymously as a woman, but also it's a woman that is sick. I can imagine she was probably withered. I can imagine that she was probably kind of scrawny and from all the bleeding or the hemorrhaging that she experienced for 12 years. Due to her physical illness, she was rendered legally unclean. What that means is, talking about being quarantined, this lady was quarantined for 12 years. This is a woman that she could not go through those front doors, even if the CDC said it's okay. She had to stay home because she was filthy and dirty. Society had labeled her as unworthy to come to church on Sabbath or for Sabbath school, for prayer meeting, for AY, for adventurer or pathfinder meetings. She could not go. Talking about being quarantined, church. Some of us have been complaining because we've been quarantined off and on for 6 months. If this woman was here, she would say, Beaumont and Warren, imagine how 12 years is. And it gets a little bit worse because in her situation, because of her illness, when Thanksgiving comes around, she never gets a call to come over for a meal. When Christmas comes around, if she got a gift, all the family would do is bring the gift, lay it at her front door, knock, and get on out. Because their family member was rendered unclean. She was sick, and due to her condition, she could not go to church. She could not go to work. She couldn't even be around her extended family because she was sick. But the Bible says that after many attempts to get well, the woman decided to risk her life and possible incarceration in order to see Jesus. Some versions say that she spent all that she had, all of her money on doctors, on health specialists, on veggie meat, trying to live like a vegan. Had vegan lemon cake. Had scented candles. Told her to drink 8 and 9 and 10 cups of water a day. Eat fruits and vegetables. She did it all and nothing worked. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 5, the disciple was inspired to say that her condition even got worse over the years. But despite being banished, rejected, and experiencing technically social injustice due to the illness she had, the woman realized that she did have one more solution. And the Bible says that not only did she realize that Jesus could heal her, but she went to him personally because she knew that he was the solution to her problems. In other words, number one, the first thing in this country, if we were ever going to get rid of social injustice, if we were ever going to heal the murders and all the evil that's going on, number one, it starts by taking the issue not to the president, not even to all the different people in government. It starts with taking our needs and our concerns to Jesus and he alone. Oh, I think somebody already knew that, amen. David, you're not telling us nothing. That's all right. I'm reminding you just like sometimes I have to be reminded. Oh, you know how it is. Oh, Lord, should I go amongst the people? Because, Lord, Lord, some people say you need to stay in the conference or stay at home. And, Lord, I'm taking it to you. I'm on your business. You have to keep me safe. Talking about traveling to all these different churches, elder. People say, David, don't you get worried? I already took it to Jesus. I sent two of my kids home. We allowed them to go back to college there in Tennessee at Southern. My kids, they had the nerve to use the adult card on me and their mother. Dad, I'm 22. And then my daughter, Dad, I'm 20. We're grown. I said, well, if you were grown, you wouldn't be paying, we wouldn't be paying the... Oh, they hate when we start bringing that up. But they still grown, even though we pay the tuition. But it was only because my wife and I, on bended knees, Lord, do we let them go? And the Lord said clearly, let them go. But Lord, I can't keep them safe. You know what the Lord said? Have you really ever kept them safe? Kind of hurt my feelings, but of course Jesus does it all the time, amen? Especially when we start thinking it's about us. The quicker that we allow ourselves to stay humble, the less Jesus hurts our feelings, or God will hurt our feelings, because we realize it's all about him anyway. It's in his love and mercy that he has blessed us the way he has. And this is what I believe this lady was realizing. She was realizing that, yes, it is a big risk. If I get caught, I'm going to get stoned, or I'm going to get put in jail. But I'm taking my issues to Jesus, and I'm following up by faith. Somebody here, Jesus is saying today, are you really having faith in what you're asking of me? In other words, we want Jesus to heal, or we want Jesus to do, or we want Jesus, but what about us taking the step in faith, knowing that God is going to work it out? That's what that woman was dealing with. And the Bible says that even though she understood that it was a big risk, because she was taking it to Jesus and following through on her faith in Christ, she didn't worry about it. You see, Jesus is still the answer to all of our problems and all of our issues that we struggle with. Jesus is the answer not only during this time of social injustice, but he's also the answer for us to deal with whatever racist or bigotry that goes on in this country. Jesus is still the answer as far as handling hate, name calling, prejudice that has still existed in our country for centuries. Jesus, not fighting, not cussing people out, not telling about themselves out of hatred, or I gotta tell them a piece of my mind. If that's not motivated through Jesus, then you need to keep your mind and your mouth shut. Understand, we all have opinions, I get it. But when we're talking about sharing to others, if it's not being motivated by thus saith the Lord, do you understand we're making it harder? We're making it worse because it's not coming through thus saith the Lord. And I want you to know that's what this lady understood. And you know, this lady, you got to understand that I believe she had fears, but she was willing to risk it all because she gave her fears to Jesus. The woman, I believe she did have anxieties, but she gave the anxieties to Jesus. I believe the woman had burdens or concerns, but she gave the burdens to Jesus. Oh, my friends, Jesus wants us to bring all. Someone say all. Jesus wants us to bring all of our issues, all of our stuff, all of our baggage to him. Many of us are guilty of holding on to it because, well, you got to understand, Pastor Reynolds, I am this, or I've done that, and I got this education, or I make this kind of money, or you don't understand, I'm a third or fourth generation Adventist. All of that means zero if it's not through Christ. If it's not through Christ. Remember, church, Jesus' famous quote, one of my favorite texts of scriptures, Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. We love worshiping God on the seventh day Sabbath, but Jesus is saying, I need you to rest in me Sunday through Friday. I remember when I used to be a little younger, like these guys here, like these brothers, I used to, couldn't wait till Sabbath was over. I'm going to tell you something. My wife's going to get on me for telling, but I feel comfortable here. I'm going to share it. One time my wife got on me because my kids kept saying, Daddy, is the Sabbath over yet? And I said, no, you got to wait a little bit more time. Daddy, come on, is the Sabbath over? And Lord is my witness. I'm not bragging about this. I'm almost ashamed, but I'm going to share it because I'm amongst family. Amen. I said to my son, I said, look, if you bring up is the Sabbath over one more time, I'm going to extend the Sabbath past sunset 30 more minutes. Oh, Daddy, don't do it. We're talking about God's holy day. The church, especially you adults, y'all know the older we get, the more we start to understand the privilege of having a day of rest. That's why I'm not mad at my kids. They're learning, amen. They're learning. But the truth is, Jesus is saying, well, hold on. That's for just Sabbath. But Jesus says, like that woman, I want you to rest in me every day. After sunset, at your job, at school, in your community. Rest in me with whatever you're watching on television. So I can rest in the Lord, you know, watching football, amen? Of course, after 3 hours, that's when the Lord says, Dave, it's time to go. Oh, Lord, I'm not done. Well, I'm done. Let's go, son. Oh, yes, Lord, let's go. I tell you, it's a struggle in our hearts. And if we're honest, we all have those same type of struggles. Amen? I know many of you are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, but we still have struggles. That's why God has brought me here to tell you that, number one, when you have those struggles, bring it to Jesus. What do you say? But hey, we're not done yet. Let's get back to the story. Because number two, this is my favorite part. Notice verse 44. I'm going to read in your hearing from my version. Bible says, she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know the power, that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Christian friends, before I became a pastor, actually I'm a preacher's kid, just a little bit about me. I'm a preacher's kid, third generation Seventh-day Adventist, and running from being in the ministry because I felt the Lord called me to social work. And the Lord did call me to social work, was in it for 20 years. Working in group homes, working in residential treatment centers, shelters. And I want to tell you, what drew me to this story so much is Jesus, what he did is a clinical intervention. We call it in social work or in psychology, we call it exploring. You see, whenever a counselor, any decent counselor, any good counselor, the first thing they do is after they get your information is they sit down and then they say, what happened? And then we take notes while we get the story. Christian friends, I want you to know this was brilliant what Jesus did back in this time, because what Jesus could have done is said, young lady, what are you touching me for? You're unclean. Jesus could have said, hey, lady, you sneaking up on me? What's wrong with you? Some people would have said, you get hurt for sneaking up on me. What's wrong with you? Jesus could have said that and had the right to say that. He could have said something like, hey, what did you ask permission to touch me? Don't you know that's inappropriate? Don't be touching on some single man like that. That's what Jesus could have said. But church, notice what the Son of God did. The Bible says, and I want you to see this in me. I hope you can see what I'm looking at. In my brain, I see Jesus there, and after he says, who touched me? I can imagine before he said that, that lady touched him, and while he's touching him, she walks away, and all of a sudden she hears, uh-oh, someone touched him, might be talking about me. And I can imagine that she still walks, and he says, Jesus says, no, someone touched me. I feel power out of me. That's when the woman was like, uh-oh, I touched without permission. I'm a woman. I used to be unclean, but everybody doesn't know that yet. So technically, if I get caught, I'm in trouble. The Bible says she stopped. She came back. She came trembling. But I can imagine, in my sanctified imagination, she gets on one knee and just says, Lord, this is why I touched you. The Bible says that Jesus did not say a word. Jesus listened. Jesus didn't give advice. He listened. Jesus didn't give constructive criticism. He listened. Jesus didn't even try to give, you know, next time do this. Maybe pray 5 days or 5 hours a day. He listened. Christian friends, number two, if we ever want to work out positive relationships with one another, we have to listen. Listen. It reminds me of my relationship, or many of you, us that are married. Can you imagine men? Don't answer this question. Just keep it in your brain. But could you imagine men? If your wife comes through that front door after a hard day of work, or maybe she's coming from taking care of errands, and she comes to you while you're watching, or while you're working, or you're watching TV, and you say, honey, she says, honey, something terrible happened to me. Let me talk to you about it. Can you imagine if you had said to your wife, later, honey, ooh, someone's already feeling uncomfortable. I didn't say you said it. I want you to imagine it. Imagine if you had said something like, Lord, honey, that's your problem, or toughen up, or what you're so frustrated for, get over it. Somebody said, Pastor, we wouldn't be married right now, amen? But church, the reason why I brought that up is because Jesus did really the most compassionate thing that we all need, and that is people to listen. I have four children, all four of my children. They've done many things in common. One of the things I can tell you, when they were really small, 4, 3, 2, I'll never forget, and some of you that have children, I guarantee you can relate with me, where our kids may hurt themselves outside, or they may hurt themselves playing with their sibling. They come to the parents and, Mom, Dad, I'm hurt, I fell, I scraped myself. Can you imagine parents if we were to say, toughen up, son? Get over it, daughter. Stop that crying. What's wrong with you? No. What do we say as parents? What happened? Tell me what happened. And in most cases, parents, if you've noticed, when we ask that question, by the time they explain their whole story, and many times, they have stopped crying. So again, Jesus is doing a practical intervention. All he is saying is, look, we got a lot of people that, if you can relate or can't relate, what Jesus is modeling to us is just listen. As a pastor, one of the first things we do, yeah, we're glad you want to get baptized, but let me hear your story. I guarantee you, Pastor Steve is going to do that with the new converts you all are going to get in the future, amen? Take the time just to listen. And I got to admit, church, it's not easy. It's not always easy, because some of the things that's going to be said is, it's going to be crazy and it's going to make sense. We all have kids. We know that. But understand, they're in different generations than us. We may not be able to understand. Might not. But our children still deserve a listening ear. What do you say, church? Psalm 17, verse 6, God will bring ear to your mouth and your heart in time of need. That's in Psalm 17. What David had learned is that God is so loving to us. As many times as he could condemn, zap, cast us aside, the Bible through David says that a lot of what God does is just listen. Listen to our concerns. Listen to our trials. Listen to our struggles. Listen to the issues that we're going through. That's what God does for us, and that's what he is wanting us to do towards others who are hurting, others that are distraught, others that are in need of help. That's modeled by Jesus, church. This isn't me talking to you. This is Jesus. And that's what he showed the woman. Oh, how truly I believe that African Americans and others who have been treated with hatred and bigotry and racism, I honestly believe that every difficult situation, listening can and will help with the issue. I've talked to kids. I've talked to people that have been abused, that have been treated with maltreatment or have been left out on the streets. And the first thing they say is, Mr. Reynolds, many of them, Mr. Reynolds, thank you for hearing my story. I feel better just getting it out, but not just getting it out, but getting it out and not being judged, not being told about myself. I know I made bad mistakes, or I know I deserve this or that, but thank you for listening to me. And church, I want you to know something. A lot of my prayers that I say to the Lord is, Lord, thank you for listening to me. Thank you for hearing me. Oh, Lord, I may not be as bad as so-and-so, but I'm still bad. Lord, I may not sin as much as that person in the entertainment world or in the politics, but I'm still a sinner. Well, Lord, at least I don't sin as much as so-and-so, but I'm still in that category of a sinner in need of a Savior. And that's why I love Jesus so much. Matter of fact, the song says, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your trials. He'll hear your faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. He'll hear a little prayer wheel turning, and he'll know that fire is burning. And that's why it's okay to have a little talk with Jesus, which makes it right all right. What do you say, church? Church, I want you to go with me to one more point, because one more point, this part is so important also. This part is so important. Again, you want to take your concern to Jesus. You want to listen. And when you listen, you're listening without being critical or judging or you know, stereotyping. But notice this. Notice this. The Bible says in verse 48. In verse 48, we're wrapping things up. Notice what it says now. Then he said to her, daughter. That's it. Verse 40. Brother, we said woman. But now in verse 48, he says daughter. In other words, Jesus gave the woman a new identification. Church, do you understand what Jesus did? She should have been called filth. She should have been called all kind of slurs or all kind of bad names. But Jesus said, no. No more woman. He calls her daughter. He says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Jesus identified with the woman as daughter. And I got to believe that daughter, that lady must have felt just, man, I'm a daughter. Can you imagine how endearing that term must have felt for her? I can imagine if her dad or mom was living, she probably hadn't heard that from them before in many years. And yet the Son of Man, the Son of God, he says, daughter. And instantly I can see that smile come on that lady's face. Why? Because she realized that it's not just me on this side and God on this side. We are together, united. Why? Because of her trust and her faith in Christ. And I'm here to tell you, you realize all of us are brothers and sisters. Oh, I know we have different colors. I know we come from different parts of America or the world. But we're all brother and sister because we're related through the human race. We're also related because we all started from Adam and we all did.
So whatever the color is, that's just the different variety that God has allowed to be created, but we're still all under the umbrella of brother and sister. That was my brother there sitting there that did a great job acting earlier this morning. Amen? And that was my little sister that did an awesome job in her acting. Amen? That was my brother that came forward that gave the offertory or did the song special music. But y'all don't even come from the same mom and dad. Yes, we did. Adam and Eve. That's what Jesus is portraying here. And then when we, all during the Old New Testament, Paul says it, when you accept Christ, we're all a part of the body. So spiritually, we're related. I know you're in Beaumont and I'm in Grand Prairie. We're all related. Spiritually. And church, I'm going to say this too. Those that accept Christ that are Seventh-day Adventists, we're all related. Woo! Praise the Lord, someone understands what I'm saying. I'm not talking about keeping the Sabbath or understanding the state of the dead. I'm just letting you know that there are people out in the world that love the Lord with all their heart, their soul, and their mind. Jesus is their big brother, and we're all related also spiritually with them. I know they need to know the truth. Don't tell me that, church. I already know that. I know the truth will set. I already know that. But we're not. The context I want you to understand is, even before truth comes to them, we're still brothers and sisters. One of my favorite songs, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. You see, Christian friends, many times what the enemy does is he tries his best to make us believe you and your people over there and you and your gender over there and you and your country are over there. I've even had some Christians think that's how it might be in heaven. Church, it don't say that in the Bible. That's your theology, or that's that person's theology. That's not what Scripture says. When Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, he never mentioned about mansions for one race or one people from one particular country. Or, and you know why he didn't do it? Because when Jesus comes and takes us to heaven, all that doesn't matter anymore. You know why? Because Jesus is just coming to take the character, not the color, but the character of Christ in our hearts. That's it. That's why all of our money and all of our stuff, that doesn't mean nothing. It's what's on the inside. And I'm here to tell you, church family, that God has, through his, Jesus has shown us very clearly, how do we handle social injustice? How do we handle evil? How do we handle people that think differently from us or hurt? Jesus modeled it right here. Number one, we take it to the Lord, not when we get angry, but daily. Or not when we feel like it, but daily. But then number two, we take the time to listen. And I want to throw this in. Many of us, including me, we're still married because we listen. Isn't that right, husbands? Hey, you should see this guy. He's like, yeah, that's the truth, Pastor. That's how it is for me. Amen. But that's, praise God for that, because the truth is many are married because the spouse, the wife listened too. Isn't that right, ladies? Amen. I see her in the back. Yeah, Pastor, that's me. Honey, he saw you shaking my head. Yeah, I saw you. Praise the Lord, because that's how it is in my family too. Do you think if we just had it our way all the time that you and I could still get together or we could get along in a lot of our relationships? No. It's about listening to one another. And then instead of putting one another down, validating one another, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And what's also fascinating before I sit down is Jesus not only healed this lady physically and emotionally, but spiritually, Jesus basically saved and comforted her by saying, daughter, go in peace. Go in peace. I want you to know that the times that we're dealing with, it's not going to get a lot better. And I know you know that, church. And that's why I want to share with you the importance. The importance of just making sure that, Lord, take my heart and let it be wholly consecrated, Lord, to thee. The only way we're going to get through this and keep and have our sanity is by continuing to give it to Christ each and every day. I don't care what kind of neighbor you have. God doesn't care some of the evilness that you deal with as far as an excuse to be you and go at people the way you feel appropriate. But Jesus has modeled to us as, no, there's a higher standard that God is expecting from all of his children. And my prayer, my hope, and my expectation is that as you and I continue to rededicate or consecrate our hearts to the Lord every day, before we leave that front door, the Spirit of Christ is going to lead us and guide us. And yeah, I know that person shouldn't have cut in front of you going to work. But because Jesus is in us, Lord is going to help us not to have that bad word in our hearts. Amen? Oh, y'all don't curse in Beaumont? Well, in Dallas, that's what happens, amen, because they drive so bad. And I'm here to tell you that whether it's bad drivers, whether it's evil people at your job, in your community, the truth is, with Christ in your heart, all things are possible. And you know, we don't believe that once he's there, he's always there. We believe that once he gets there, now we want to keep him there. Bible says in 3 verse 20 of Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. He just doesn't want to come in. Bible says he wants to fellowship with you. He wants to talk with you, but most importantly, he doesn't ever want to exit your heart. That's what my Bible tells me about Jesus and our walk in a relationship together. And my hope and prayer is that you will daily focus on the importance of letting God, through the Holy Spirit, lead you and guide you so that when Jesus comes again, we can all just reach up and say, Lord, I am so ready to go home. That's going to happen by God's grace to me. What about you, church? Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your message today. What an outstanding example of how to handle social injustice or evil or whatever dilemmas we're dealing with in our hearts, how to handle it. And Lord, you modeled it. Oh, I just pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will live in us in a way that people will be able to see Christ in us. And Lord, it does get challenging sometimes because the enemy, like a roaring lion, is seeking to take us out. But Lord, we claim victory, not in our own efforts, but in our willingness to just get out of your way, let you have your way, to get out of the driver's seat and let you take control. This can only happen, Lord, if we continue to rededicate or sanctify to rededicate ourselves to you, so that you can in time grow us to the sanctification that we're in need of. So we come to you asking you, Lord, to have your way and your will in us. In Jesus' name, let everybody say, amen.